Amen. Well, it's good to be together on worship, or it's good to be together for worship on this beautiful day that God has made for us. We want to extend a welcome to all of you and a very special welcome to anyone who's worshiping with us for the first time. We're glad that you're here, and we know that even though the sun is out and it's beautiful, for some reason it's just a little bit chilly in here. And so Eliana has some of our prayer shawls that are made by our prayer shawl ministry, and she'll be just coming down the aisle, and if you just want a little extra warmth this morning, feel free to raise your hand, and she'll give you one of those shawls just so you can be cozy this morning. Today is Christ the King Sunday in the life of the church, not only here at MIPC, but around the world, and we are wearing these beautiful white stoles. I think it's the second time that we've had an opportunity to wear them, that many of you have just poured just so much love into making, and these are by our visual theology team, but all the pastors are wearing these white stoles today to represent and to celebrate Christ the King Sunday with the church around the world. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday in the church year, and so the church calendar is such that this Sunday is the last Sunday, and the next Sunday, the church year or calendar begins again with the first Sunday of Advent, and we walk into the Advent season together joyfully and with anticipation, waiting to celebrate the great mysteries and just God's gift to us in Christmas. So we hope that you will watch your bulletin inserts, your announcements, your website, the MIPC website, the emails, the window newsletter that's going to be coming out, not to give you more stuff to do during the Advent season, but for you to be able to find meaningful opportunities for yourselves and for your families to come and to celebrate the Advent season together here as a faith family at MIPC. Today is also Thanksgiving Sunday, and wow, what a beautiful arrangement this is. And maybe we could just put our hands together just for all the people who put these beautiful arrangements together every week. Thanksgiving Sunday is our Sunday at MIPC that obviously is coming before the great celebration of Thanksgiving this Thursday. But it's also our day in which we get to have the opportunity to give thanks to God for the 2009 pledges that have already been received over the past 3 weeks, and for any pledges that you brought with you to offer today. And then we're going to have a special opportunity later in today's worship service to ask God's blessing upon those pledges. And so I'd like to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and then you'll say, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to come back to that. So there are lots of ministry opportunities that are highlighted in your bulletin insert. So please take this with you and pray about ways that God might be inviting you to get involved here at MIPC. But a couple that we'd just like to draw to your attention is, I don't know if you know this. I think most of you do, but there are some great education classes that are happening before this worship service almost every Sunday of the year. For every age and every stage of life. And so we just invite you maybe to consider again, if you're not already attending one of those, to join us and to pick one of those offerings and check it out and see the ways in which God wants us to grow in our faith and life together. This Thursday, like I said, is Thanksgiving, and there is an interfaith Thanksgiving service. All the churches and the faith communities and the synagogue and such on Mercer Island are coming together to have an interfaith Thanksgiving service. It's at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. Ooh, gosh. Okay, it's Wednesday. I'm sorry. It's Wednesday evening, the day before Thanksgiving. It's at 7:30 p.m. at Emmanuel Episcopal Church. So if you'd like to join join together with the community for that, please do so. And they're just asking that you bring canned food to help give to the Mercer Island Food Bank. And then next Monday, a week from tomorrow, is World AIDS Day. And, you know, a few years ago, we started this service at MIPC because when we were looking out around the greater community, there were lots of educational opportunities, lots of ways in which you could find out information about World AIDS Day and the realities of HIV and AIDS around the world. But there were no opportunities for faith communities to come together and to pray and to gather as the people of God to remember and to ask for God's presence in the midst of those who have the reality of HIV and AIDS going on in their lives. And so we gather as a community, and we invite you to invite anybody to gather on World AIDS Day, which is December the 1st at 7 p.m. here at MIPC. Again, I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. Let us say it again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship with the continuation of our prelude music and the lighting of the Christ candle this morning by Emily McClellan.
Please join me in our responsive call to worship. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. For the Lord is good, and steadfast love and faithfulness will be God's nature forever. Let us rejoice in the power of God's goodness and salvation through Jesus Christ, who rules over all creation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal and ever-present God, you sent Jesus into our lives to be the light of the world, the ruler over all creation. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, we do proclaim again that Jesus is Lord of all. By your Holy Spirit, empower us to live and love as children of the light in this world, which is so often weighed down with so much anxiety and fear. We ask that you would meet us in this time of worship, that we might be changed by your glory and for your glory in this world. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our psalter reading this morning is Psalms 100, which can be found on page 552 in the Old Testament section in the Bibles in the pews. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord in gladness. Come to his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep in his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the end of the reading. Thank you, Lord, for the truth in these words.
We confess our sin because we know we are in need of God's help to live out our calling as bearers of Christ's love in a hurt and hurting world. Let us pray. Righteous God, you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him and are slow to acknowledge his rule. We give allegiance to the powers of this world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us and help us to live like people who truly honor Jesus Christ as sovereign Lord of our lives. Now we ask you to hear our silent personal prayers of confession. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our spoken and unspoken prayers. Amen. God is love. Through Christ, your sins are forgiven. Take hold of this forgiveness and live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Since God has made peace with us through Jesus Christ, let us share the peace of Christ joyfully with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet each other with the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
As we enter into our time of sharing with one another and prayer for one another, will you please take those red friendship registers that are somewhere in your row and sign them and pass them along. Let us know that you have worshiped with us this morning on this Thanksgiving Christ the King Sunday. This helps us to do our ministry of pastoral care if you're willing to sign those friendship registers. And also, if there are prayer requests that you prefer to put in writing or to make confidential today, this is a time when you could take those congregational care cards that are in the pews and fill those out. Check confidential if you only want the staff to see the request. All the other requests written and spoken for prayer will be put in the next prayer list for everyone to share and everyone to pray next week. As we begin our sharing time, let's pray together. We thank you, faithful one, that you are faithful to your promise, that you will not leave us or forsake us, that you are present with us all the time, that you are present with us here now as we gather in your name. And so as we share with each other our joys and our concerns, and as we pray for one another, we ask that you would hear us and that through the power of your Spirit present with us, you would minister to your people. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Katie and Jenny will come to you if you raise your hand, and when you get the microphone, please say your name and then share your joy or your concern. Let's start with joys today. It is a joy to share that we may be giving thanks to God with you. Jenny, there's okay, go ahead. Start with Dorothy.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Swartz, and I have two joys. One is that my daughter, Tanya, turns 21 tomorrow, and she came today.
And happy birthday, Tanya.
Yes. And also that I have reconnected with a couple of friends, and one of them was Wynn Yap, and she is doing well at her daughter's house, still has pain, but she's coping. And that's cool. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Dorothy. We do remember Wynn in our prayers with her back trouble and pray that God would be with her and help her. And Eric.
I'm Eric Leidy, and I would like to recognize Joe Fielding this morning, a member who has been directing traffic for, I think, about 10 years here through sleet and snow. I don't think anybody asked Joe to start this project, but he just saw a need and has been doing a great job, and I think we owe him a big round of applause.
Yeah, way to go, Joe. We do. There are many of those kind of ministries going on in our church just quietly, and Joe, thanks so much for your direction that you give us all the time.
I'm Sally Garrett, and I have several joys, but it's all about my daughter today. She had her birthday on Monday. She came home from college on Friday to join us, and she's ringing with us in bells, which is a great joy for the whole bell choir, I think. So,
yeah, happy birthday, Krista. Welcome to have you back. And this is that kind of fun time of the year when a lot of our college students reappear for a while, and we rejoice to see them here. Jean.
I'm Jean Christie, and I'm really thrilled to see two very special members of our church, the Morrises, Jean and Lucian, that are here and haven't been here for a long time, and their son-in-law, Frank Bean, who's been visiting with us.
Great to have you with us today, Jean and Lucian, and Frank also. Thanks.
A significant birthday, but we can't quite remember which one it is. It's up there in the 90s somewhere.
Was it Jean or Lucian?
Lucian.
Lucian. Happy birthday, Lucian, somewhere in the 90s. Any other joys this morning? Okay.
Yes, I would just like to say what a joy it is for me to be able to come here and bring two of the pioneers of this congregation. I mean, they've been here in the church since I can't remember it so far back, because I'm getting really old myself. And, oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing them, Frank, as well. Mary Lou, did you have a joy?
Yes, Mary Lou Kirshner, and today is Mark's birthday, somewhere in the 80s.
Happy birthday, Mark. Kirshner. Yeah.
I have a joy which probably could be a prayer request also. I got a phone call this Wednesday from my mother. She took my grandmother out for lunch, and my grandmother passed out in the middle of Macy's. My grandmother called me to try to beat my mother's report because she wanted to let me know that she was okay. So I'm just very, very grateful that she was fine, and she was had the quick response, and there's no problem, so praise God for her.
Thanks, Kelly. We do give thanks for your grandma's real fast recovery. Jenny over there, Ben. And then we'll move over to concerns after this.
My name is Ben Nguyen. I would like to share with you about Dale. His birthday will be next week on the November 26th. And I hope one day I will say that when he will be 80. It means I pray and ask God to help us to have a good health so we can continue the ministry God gave to us, to all of us, so we can continue until we will be 80. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. That's many, many years to get to 80. Katie.
I'm Katie Ginn, and it's Cheryl's birthday on Tuesday.
It is. Happy birthday, Cheryl, also. Many birthdays. Let's go over to concerns. What concerns do you have, prayer requests for yourself or family members or someone you know or something in the world at this point?
I'm Georgina Schultz, and just... a couple weeks ago, Catherine Crawford passed away. So just her daughter.
Thank you, Georgie. We will lift Catherine and her Catherine's family in our prayers on her death. Other concerns today? Georgia Quick.
Hi, I'm Georgia Quick. I'd like to ask for prayers for my friends Gail and Willie Jackson. Willie was diagnosed with a rather aggressive prostate cancer and is going through experimental treatment, which will lead to surgery in February. And you know, they're right beginning to retire, and they were planning a lovely rest of their life, and this puts a little kink in it. Yeah. And I would just ask for prayers for both of them, for comfort and for healing.
Thanks, Georgia. So for Willie, for his prostate cancer treatment and his family.
Prayers for the Finkenbinder family as well. Mike had a cousin who her husband died in a car accident, so they're going to be with the family.
Thank you, Cheryl. We do lift Brenda and Mike in our prayers and his cousin's family as well on his death. Well, thank you for your sharing and for your prayers as you were listening and for your faithfulness to use our prayer list to continue the prayer ministry of the life of our church. Kelly is going to come and lead us now in the community prayer.
Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come to you worshiping you and exalting your holy name, for you alone are worthy. Today we celebrate the reign of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, O God, that in this kingdom of Jesus, you redefine what God-ordained rule looks like. We thank you that in Jesus' rule, wars cease. Thank you that the oppressed are lifted up. Thank you that Jesus is not only concerned about what the powerful are concerned about, but is always infusing his loving reign with a new vision for the world. Transform us, O God, in the same way, so that our rule will look like you. Thank you, God, for this season of Thanksgiving and for showing us that as we are grateful, our lives pour out our love in how we treat each other and in how we give back to you. Even in this time of storm, and yes, oh God, we are in a storm, we are listening for your strong voice that speaks to despair, peace be still. That speaks to depression, peace be still, to fear of the unknown, to sorrow for those who we will miss during this season. Peace be still. God, we thank you for the gift of stewardship, for the responsibility we have to the church and to your world. Help us to give always as cheerful givers, as you say in the scriptures, so that our attitudes in giving might be sacred and loving. Help us to remember, as we are so fearful of what the financial market is doing, help us to remember the widow's mite, who gave not out of abundance, but out of her poverty. God, help us to be cheerful givers. God, bless those who will travel during this time. Give us all travel mercies. Bless those who are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan who are unable to spend the holidays with their families. Bless those who are sick, those in hospitals and in prisons who are often cut off from community. And help us to be your hands and your feet and your mouth so that we can be your presence in a hurting world. And now, O God, as the community of faith, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite Eliana and the children for a time together.
We're gonna sit over here in front of the pumpkins and stuff. How's that? I think I look better if I sit in front of it. Hi, Benjamin. Well, today is the last day I get to bring out my friend Stu Bear. I was mentioning to Pastor Sherry that somehow Stu Bear's been losing weight. I don't know what happened, but Stu Bear has been coming out and chatting with you guys about our stewardship, which some children remember to bring their boxes with change. This one sounds a little heavy. See? So I'm really thankful for all of you because I know so many of you I've talked to have been saving whatever you can to give back to church, and that's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for doing that. And if you forgot to bring your box today, that's okay because you can bring it by anytime next Sunday, the Sunday after that. But I think the important thing that I want to talk to us about, to all of you about, is really more for all the grown-ups, not really for you guys. Although it's good for you to listen because someday, if you're moms and dads, you'll want to remember this. Because all of us as adults that made up this promise to raise up and train up our children do a pretty good job in some areas. Let's see, we've taught most of you how to tie your shoelaces, right? Kind of. We're pretty good at teaching you to eat your fruits and vegetables most of the time. We've taught you how to say please and thank you. And if you forget, we're very good at reminding, aren't we, grandma, grandpas, right?
Yes.
Sometimes, though, we forget to teach some things, or we don't remember to say it out loud. We're to be thankful people. And there's a reason why Thanksgiving comes before Christmas, I think. It's a way to remind ourselves of all the blessings we've had, not just on one day, but throughout our whole lives. And it's a time for us to count our blessings, but not to count them quietly, but to count them out loud. And after we do that, we'll realize truly how blessed we are. And then that's why it's so easy for us to say, of course we can give back 10% of what we've gotten. That's not a big deal. We've gotten so much. One little boy brought his box and he said, all I have is 10 cents. There's a dime. Because all I had was a dollar. It doesn't sound like much, does it? Just a dime? But it's a lot because it's 10% of what he had. If we learn that and if we teach that to our children when they're little like this, imagine what a wonderful lesson they'll have that in their hearts when they're adults. And it's not something we've made up. It's actually sometimes something that we've been asked to do by God. So I'm thankful for all of you kids because you are already practicing something we adults sometimes forget to practice. And you're good reminders to all of us. And maybe you'll remember that when you're moms and dads. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for helping to provide us with different ways to remember that we really are a thankful people. You bless us in so many ways. And we promise not to count our blessings silently, but to count them out loud and to remember that everything we have is because of you. And all of God's children say, amen. All right, how about if our four-year-olds through second grade go on back with Mrs. Dowling for a worship center, and the rest of you can stay here and do some worship activities.
Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. God of all wisdom, you have promised to speak to us through your living word. So now, as the scripture is read and Pastor Sherry preaches your word, open our ears and hearts to receive your word to us today. Amen. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, which is found on page 192 in the New Testament. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of enlightenment, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, and fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Joshua Bell is one of the world's greatest violinists. Last year, he won the Avery Fisher Prize, which is given every few years to classical instrumentalists for outstanding achievement. His instrument is a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin, which is one of the finest instruments in the world, worth nearly $4 million. People pay hundreds of dollars to hear him play. A magazine said once that his playing, quote, does nothing less than tell human beings why they bother to live. One Oscar-winning composer credited Bell for his award for the score of The Red Violin, saying that Bell plays like a god. Well, Joshua decided to do something a little bit different last year. In January of 2007, he took part in an unusual experiment. He put on some old clothes and a baseball cap, pulled out his Stradivarius, and played as a busker in a major subway station in the DC area. He played some of the most difficult and the most beautiful classical works ever composed for a violin. Over 1,000 people walked by him. Only a handful ever stopped to listen. For his 45-minute experiment, Bell collected a few dollars and lots of pennies. No one ever even applauded. Bell later said that he had to admit it felt a bit strange to be ignored. Despite being one of the world's greatest violinists, playing one of the most valuable instruments in existence, people passed him by quickly. Some even looking a bit annoyed that their usual morning routine had been interrupted or altered by his presence. They did not realize the value and the beauty of what was right before their eyes. This beautiful letter written to the Ephesians, in my opinion, the most poetic, most profound, most theologically rich attempt there is to explain the mystery of our faith, is written to an ordinary church in Ephesus and probably intended to be circulated to many ordinary churches in the region. There was nothing especially remarkable about the audience of this letter, except that most were new to the Christian faith, a lot were Gentiles, maybe even new to faith of any kind. It would have been quite easy to walk by them if you saw them and not even give them a second glance and just to move right on. But the Apostle Paul, probably writing this letter in prison with the help of one of his assistants, does something quite remarkable for these ordinary church people. And he does, by the way, the same remarkable thing for us. He writes and addresses to them as God's holy people, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then, using words as beautiful as the melodic strains of Joshua Bell's violin, he begins to explain to them nothing less than the purpose of life. They are participants, Paul says, in the great cosmic drama of the triune God that has been going on before the world began. They have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. They've been chosen, adopted, ransomed, forgiven, included in Christ, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. It would take a lifetime to unpack all of the spiritual blessings they have received. Joshua Bell has a $4 million Stradivarius, but Paul says that they have an inheritance that is priceless. And Paul says to this church, you need to know. You really need to understand who you are and what you have. Because if you do, it will transform everything about your life. And through your life, it will transform this world. And so Paul proceeds to offer an incredible prayer for them, using words so beautiful, so profound, that if it doesn't make you stop and take notice, then my advice to you is this: you need to pray this prayer every day until you do begin to brush up against the powerful mystery wrapped inside the words of this prayer. Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. If only we could understand how great God is. Paul attempted to draw a word picture so that his readers could begin to grasp the immeasurable power of God working in Jesus Christ. He used the familiar images of the day, kings and thrones and references to power. God put this power to work in Christ. When? When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come, which is now. Which is now. And that is what we celebrate on Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate first that Christ is Lord of all, filled with all the fullness of God's power that was poured into him when Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I already thought Jesus was pretty powerful when he walked on this earth. But I believe these verses are telling us that even more power was poured into him. All the greatness of God's power was poured into him at the time of his resurrection. And guess what? On this Thanksgiving Sunday, we are reminded that what Christ had, Christ gave to the early church and continues to give to us through the gift of his Spirit in our lives. It is definitely hard to get our heads around the concept of what it means to be living with this kind of immeasurable greatness of power inside us. And that is why we need to pray as Paul did, and to ask that God will continue to open our eyes and enlighten our hearts to the reality of the hope and the power we can claim in Jesus Christ. That is why we've been called into this church community, because here at Mercer Island Presbyterian Church, we can encourage one another to be thankful. We can sit next to each other in worship and be reminded of the purpose of our lives and the riches of our faith heritage, and to be helped to sing out our praises to the glory of God. In this community of friends and followers of Christ, we can see in each other and in what we do together glimpses of that incredible power that has been poured into our lives through the Spirit of Jesus, and we can be so thankful. We can be thankful, and I know we are, but we don't always think about it, but thankful for those who have gone before us in this community and who have faithfully left us a legacy of this land and this beautiful facility and this amazing sanctuary we worship in. We can be thankful for our growing understanding and practice of the power of prayer, and thankful for our commitment to walk alongside one another, reflecting the love of Christ in times of joy and sorrow through our caring ministries here. We can be thankful for our commitment to nurture the faith of our children and our youth and our adults of all stages and ages in life. And so that is so that we will grow in wisdom and understanding of the hope and power that is ours to claim and to share in Christ. We can be thankful for our willingness to share our resources with others, to make a difference for Christ in our community and beyond to the world. There's way too long a list of the ways that this congregation has already done that through your financial support and through your volunteer support, but I just want to name a few. We're thankful for our willingness to share our resources with others, to make a difference for Christ in this community, through the volunteers who have spent many hours tutoring the young people at Asa Mercer Middle School, and in so doing have given them a glimpse of the power and the hope that are theirs to claim in Jesus Christ. We are thankful that our financial support of missions has funded an early childhood inoculation program in the slums of Phnom Penh and has purchased medicine and medical treatment for the poor in central Vietnam. We're thankful that through your financial and volunteer support, we've built an amazing number, I don't even know how many, total of new homes over the years for the poor in Tijuana. And we've cooked and funded meals for over 1,400 homeless people at Tent City 4 and at Plymouth. And we have supported artisans around the world at our 10,000 Village craft sale each year. We are thankful that we've been able to purchase a new portable classroom and to buy school supplies for the Child Academy in South Africa and to support the installation of a new organ at the Blessed Silos Parish in New Orleans and to send about 300 children to school every year in Southeast Asia and in South Africa. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I definitely want to thank you for your financial and volunteer support of the ministry here. And I also want to ask you for your prayers. Specifically, I want to ask that you pray the way Paul prayed for the church in his day. The first thing he said in the passage today was that ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, I'm a realist. I know that there are probably going to be weeks where you don't feel like giving thanks for the church because maybe we've said something that upset you or we've done something that maybe you would have done a little bit differently. Things are never perfect in the life of the church. We all know that. But I also know that the Spirit of God has drawn us together for a purpose that is far greater than any of our differences. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Friends, we are a part of God's great plan, the cosmic drama that is the main storyline of this world if we only had eyes to see it. We are not just a group of random people here today worshiping. We have been chosen by God, and we are participants in Christ in what God is doing in this world. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he was thanking God that their love was proof that God was breaking down the ancestral barriers between Jew and Gentile. Our love today is evidence of the power of the gospel to continue to break down barriers. Barriers between ages and nations and races and sexes and sexual orientations, between Wall Street and Main Street, between able-bodied and persons of disabilities. So thank God, every time you see one person loving another who otherwise would have nothing to do with each other, thank God. We, and I include myself, we need to spend a lot more time thanking God for what is going on among us. There is plenty of evidence of God's presence all around us, but like those commuters in the subway station, we're not always programmed to notice the extraordinary mixed in with our ordinary routines. And then I want to ask that in your prayers for our church, you would pray that we would come to know God better. Paul prays in verse 17 that we might come to know and enjoy God, like it's a process, like in any kind of relationship. It develops over time, if you attend to it. Of course, God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all living things, has known us forever. God has never stopped listening to the music of our lives. I'm not sure we could say the same thing about God. But take note, please. Paul does not pray that we will know more about God. He prays that we will come to know God. The point of the relationship is not what we can get from God or what we can do for God. The point of the relationship is God. Please pray that we will become increasingly delighted and aware of the presence of God in Christ with us here in our worship, in our meetings, in our mission, and in all of our conversations with one another and with others around the world. Please pray that we will not be like those subway commuters walking by a $4 million Stradivarius and a world-class violinist. Pray that the eyes of our heart will be opened and that we will come to know and see, as the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote, that the whole world is charged with the grandeur of God. If we only take the time, if we only have the eyes to see it. Let us pray. Oh God, we ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we may come to see and come to know you better. It must seem so strange to you to have us pass by you so often and to virtually ignore your presence in our midst. So open our eyes to see your powerful grace shimmering all around us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
In just a few minutes, we will dedicate not only our offerings this morning, but our 2009 stewardship pledges. As of last Friday, we had received 148 pledged commitments, which is 42% compared to our total response for last year. And we had also received 14 new pledges. This is as of last Friday. This is far more of a response than we have ever received before our Stewardship Sunday in the past. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, we give thanks then for your spirit of generosity. And we pray that as we dedicate our offerings, our StuBear boxes, and our 2009 pledges, God will expand our opportunities to do good for all people as we share Christ's love with this congregation and with the community and world around us. The ushers will come forward to receive our morning offerings and our 2009 pledges.
Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive prayer of dedication, which is printed in your worship bulletin. O God, creator of us all, everything we are and everything we have is really yours, but placed in our care for a while. So now we dedicate this offering of our gifts and our pledge cards as a sign of our admission that we are yours, and that we are only in this world to fulfill your purposes. God, we know your giving knows no ending. Make us gracious in heart, confident that our giving will touch many others with your healing love through the ministries of this church. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 555.
Friends, we hope you'll be able to stay after worship and enjoy each other's company for a while. And when you leave this place, my prayer for you is that your eyes will be open to see that all the world is charged with the grandeur of God, and that God would continue to open the eyes of our heart that we might be able to understand and believe that God is present with us always. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit bless us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen.